Well, today, we are so privileged today. Like I said earlier, how many know if you snooze, you lose? That's going to become our motto. 2 weeks ago, we had 33 Miles in here, one of the top new Christian artists in America. And some of you showed up and said, I didn't know they were going to be here. And others who called me and said, Pastor, I didn't know they were going to be here. Why didn't you tell us? I said, hey, you snooze, you lose. You know, sometimes we have a chance to have people spur the moment, and we just welcome that when they're coming through town. And we've had different people from time to time, and today is no exception. We are so honored. You are in the right spot this morning. Some of you coming to church this morning didn't know that you're going to have an opportunity to be here today for a special reason, not only to be in God's presence, but we are so privileged to have some special guests with us today. Back in 1990, I came to Joppa, Missouri to go to Bible College and Messenger College, and I met a good friend who has remained a lifetime friend of Melody and I, and we met Jennifer. It used to be Jennifer Reed. Now she's married. We was there about two. Was it 2 years you were there? When we were there before you got married. 2 years we were good friends, and then she went away one summer back home to Taft, California, and she called back and said, "I met this blonde-headed Swedish guy, and he's from Sweden, and he's a helicopter pilot, and he does missionary work, and this is the guy I'm going to marry." We're like, "Okay, Jennifer, that's cool." So, you know, what's Jennifer doing marrying this helicopter pilot from Sweden? That was kind of our first thought. Carl, you know, it's kind of crazy, but hey, God's bringing them together. This must be a good thing. And little did we know back then in 1992 what God was going to do through the two of you in the ministry God was going to open up. And what started off as a helicopter pilot to Africa and Ethiopia and places there, doing from village to village and doing things, he's going to share his testimony, has turned into a worldwide evangelism crusades. They're having, listen, the Joshua campaign is reaching as many people for the Lord as anyone else that's going on today. Their crusades are reaching hundreds of thousands of people. Every month they're having crusades in Ethiopia, throughout Africa, through Indonesia, through Pakistan, and they are spreading the gospel in places that has never been before. Their goal and their purpose is to that every person would have the right to hear the gospel. And they're going to places the gospel has not been preached, and they're spreading the gospel. And in that, people are being healed, the lame are walking, deaf ears are being opened, blinded eyes are being seen, and hundreds of thousands of people are accepting Christ at one time, okay? Some of you need to fathom that, okay? And it's hard to comprehend the multitude of people that is being affected through the Joshua campaign. And so it is our very deep and great privilege today to have Dr. Carl and Jennifer Hargison. Okay, Carl, will you come and bless us today? I've asked him to come. He's going to share a testimony and preach to us and speak to us whatever God's put on his heart. Come today.
Well, it is my privilege to be here today. Thank you, Gene and Melody. We really we look forward to this Sunday here. This is it is a privilege for both of us, and I'm going to just speak a few minutes and show a little DVD here, and then I want to speak about something today about your destiny. I believe that here, that the Destiny Church, in fact, I believe it's in every person's destiny, supernatural harvest. Every person's life. Jesus have some amazing promises, and we have been privileged to travel a number of years and seen the Lord do extraordinary things the last few years. But I believe that anyone this morning, if you just turn on the news and you look at the news for a few minutes, we will start feel some insecurity about what tomorrow holds. We recognize, I believe most of us, that Jesus is coming soon. But I'm not here preaching end-time prophecy to you today. But I believe that we look at the news, we look at some of the events that is unfolding around the world, and most of us will get some kind of feeling in our heart that tomorrow we're not certain about what is happening in this world. Things are changing all over the world. It is chaos almost on every continent as we travel and look. Now, most of us, we look at this, we hear the negative news that is coming to us, and we hear those things. But I believe this morning, I want to share a few thoughts with you regarding our vision. But the Lord spoke to us a number of years ago about our assignment and our mission. And we set out to work with this. But as the Lord Jesus speaks about end time prophecy in chapter 24 in the book of Matthew, he lays out a number of end time prophecy signs on what things that will occur before his coming. But he makes this amazing statement, and he says, in fact, it's not a wishful statement. He makes this statement in chapter 24, verse 14. He says, "This gospel of the kingdom will be preached as a testimony to all nations, then the end will come." Now, when he say that, when he makes that statement, it's not a wishful statement of really hoping that his gospel, the only assignment that he gave to the church, that he kind of left with his disciples, saying, commissioning them to preach to every person, making disciples of all nations, hoping that this would somehow happen. It is a prophetic declaration he's making. He says, this gospel will be preached. Therefore, when John in the book of Revelation looks into things to come, into the future, in chapter 7, verse 9, as you're familiar with most of us, he sees the great multitude that no one can count. And they're washed in the blood of the Lamb, wearing white robes. God's word says that John, as he sees this multitude, sees things to come, he sees their people from every tribe, language, people, and nation. And he sees this assignment finished. He sees the gospel has been preached. Now, today, as we travel around the world, you know that 2.4 billion people have still never heard Jesus' name. That's 1/3 of the world's population. You have tribal groups, people groups, languages that still have never had one chance to hear the gospel. Our mission is simply this: one chance for every person. It should be a basic right for every person born that is living their lifetime, walking their lifetime here. You have still people born. We talk about human right violations, that a person can live without water or right to go to school or having the right of some human necessities that we all want. But here we have people that walk, they are born, they live their life, and they go to the grave, and they have never one single opportunity to hear Jesus' name one time. We believe this is our mission. But what is amazing is if we really believe that Jesus is coming back soon, we need to recognize that this is a season of amazing harvest. Supernatural harvest. Jesus is coming soon. And we're seeing, most of us, we think that, you know what, the events we're looking upon the news, we can have political opinions on September 11 and what is happening on the war on terrorism. But let me just speak a few moments here, and then I'm going to show a little DVD here. But things that started to happen, we didn't know. We set out with this mission that somehow we felt that every tribe, language, people needed to hear the gospel. And not knowing that a number of countries and nations are very difficult to reach. So we set out trying to reach some, but some countries you can't even come into. You can't preach the gospel in some nations. People say, that's impossible. You cannot reach that country. Or politically, they were difficult. It was wars. It was closed borders for some reason. But somehow, September 11 come. Before I even knew any of those things, September 11 arrived, and an event came that changed the history of the world. War on terrorism and whatever we call it today, you have a number of things that all of us have opinions upon. And I'm just speaking today about really what the church needs to understand. What the church needs to understand. Countries that we could not preach the gospel in before, suddenly one of the most unreached places and corners of the world, suddenly get pressure from the world saying somehow you need to have some form of democracy. Something has to happen in your country. You need to have some human rights. You have to have some rights, freedom of religion. And pressure comes from U.S., from the whole world community. Something must happen. And we start seeing doors opening in countries and places and corners and hidden places where the gospel could not be preached. Today we can see places preached, and we see the end time assignment finished. Matthew 24, 14, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached. Then the end will come. The world is reshaping for the assignment to be finished and the gospel to go forth. I want you to see this little DVD we have here. It shows a meeting. We were in Pakistan. Just in a minute here. We were in Pakistan just a few weeks ago, and I'm not sure. This might be an old clip. If it is, I apologize. It might be from a meeting in October. But this meeting, we have had a number of crusades. Now, if you know anything about Pakistan, you know it's a Muslim state. It's illegal to evangelize. You have death penalty on converting a Muslim to Christianity, and for the person converting and for the person also that is evangelizing. So you have some risk involved with preaching the gospel there. And most people will say, well, Brother Hargestam, you know what? You can't do anything there. You cannot really preach the gospel there. But somehow, that's not true. In fact, it's amazing how the number of people that comes in open-air meetings, a gathering. Now, it's not as big as meetings in Africa, but if you have 15,000, 20,000 people coming in open-air meeting, they're all Muslims. They sit in the front row, the mullahs, the sheikhs, the leader scholars of the Islamic, maybe listening if you're going to have some blasphemy statements against Muhammad, but they sit on the front row, and by the end of the service, they all stand up and shout, "Jesus, at Jesus," because they see the miracles that Jesus comes and does in the midst of the people. In this meeting we had here just a few weeks ago, over 8,000 people came forward responding to the gospel, and we are planning underground home churches all over this region. And I want you to see this and just think about the opportunities we have today, and I believe what is happening around the world. What is happening maybe is disturbing, but Jesus is certainly knowing what he's doing. I want you to roll that DVD. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. When we were in Pakistan here, something happened in the man. I was going in town there, and I wanted to buy a map of the city of Faisalabad. We were having that gospel festival in a town called Muhammad's Town. And I wanted to buy a map of Pakistan. We're doing a number of outreaches this next year. We have five big gospel festivals. Our vision is 5,000 churches for Pakistan. So now when we're working with these people there, we wanted a map. And so I was just kind of sitting in the car, and we were driving through a shopping center there, and this man come knocking on the window, and they see the posters of the festival there, and he's knocking on the window, and he says, "Now can you come over? An owner that I'm working for here has a shoe store, and he's paralyzed. He's been bedridden for 5 years, paralyzed, and he's wondering if you can come and heal him." And I said, "You know what? I cannot heal him, but I can certainly come and pray for him. I'm representing someone that I believe can heal him." So we'll go over there, and as we come there, he asked the same. He's laying there on the bed, this Muslim man. And of course, they're all Muslims, you know. Everyone, the men have white robes, the women have black robes, and we're the only one with this more kind of casual clothes. And he's asking the same question. He says, can you heal me? And I said, "You know, I know someone that can. Jesus, he can certainly do it. If you put your faith in him." He said, "You know, tell me about Jesus." And we talked a while. Of course, a Muslim believe in Jesus and believe a number of things about Jesus. And as we speak about Jesus a few minutes there, people start gathering outside the window and looking into the store, wondering what's going on. And he's getting really excited, this man. He says, "You know what? I believe in Jesus. Let's pray. And I'm ready. So time is coming for me to pray for this man to be healed." And I'm getting nervous now. You know, he's ready to believe in Jesus, he says. And we have this audience now looking through this store door. And we pray a simple prayer. And I'm just asking Jesus to come and touch this man. And Jesus come and he's touched this man as he lays there on this bed. And he jumps to his feet, start running in the store. He says, I'm healed. You know, the pain is gone. And his back that had been hurt by an accident, somehow the Lord just touched him and restored his back. And he got so happy, he wanted to start give us shoes. And he said, "You know, does someone in your team need shoes?" And he was just really happy. And as I'm looking at this man, I'm thinking the only reason this man is not saved, or the only reason this man has never had an opportunity to respond, is that he have never had a chance to hear. No one have ever told him. We look at him, and I looked kind of at him and saying that this is really someone I'm looking at as an enemy. But here, the only reason he has not had the opportunity or is not believing is he have never had a chance to hear. I believe we're living in one of the most exciting times, and it's an amazing season of harvest. So today, this morning, I want to change the order of the service and speak to you this morning about some things that the Lord has laid upon my heart. I believe we are living in supernatural times with supernatural harvest is something that every person is seeing. This is a challenge that has been in my life. When I become and travel here speaking in U.S., this is always becoming a challenge because we somehow see a number of miracles. Our crusades has a lot of miracles. The cripple, they walk, the wheelchair, we were just here in February, and a man, and this was extraordinary. This man, he had fallen from a three-story building, and his legs were crushed. And the doctor said they wanted appetite, the bed, the legs, it was just the legs were just crushed in pieces. So he was sitting in this wheelchair, and this was just about 2 weeks old, the accident, but his bones were so destroyed, they wanted to bring him to the capital to amputate his legs. And as we pray there, in the back of that meeting, he's coming from another religion. Jesus comes to him, and he jumps to his feet and starts running on that field with brand new legs, and Jesus mending his bones. Extraordinary things, and as he's testifying, you stand there and you look at these things, and how Jesus have not changed. The challenge is sometimes when we come here, a question comes into my heart. Why are we not seeing it? And this is posed to me in a number of ways. People are asking me, "Well, Brother Carl, why are we not seeing as many miracles here in America as we do over there? And I have had a number of explanations. I have tried to be real intelligent in explaining this sometimes. And the more I try to explain it, the more I recognize how I don't really understand this. And my answers is insufficient. Because to the Word of God, it doesn't matter where we turn in the Word. God's Word continually says and states one thing. Jesus Christ have not changed. He's the same yesterday. He will be the same today. And He will be the same forever. Jesus never said in one place, I will have one modus operandi in Africa. And then I will work in some way in Asia. And some way in Africa. And in America I will do some things. God's word is simple. Jesus Christ is the same. He will be the same here tonight. Today. So here, this morning, as I'm speaking to you, I want to speak about supernatural harvest, supernatural events in our life. And I believe the season we're living in today requires supernatural living. Religion can perform a number of things. I know Jennifer told me not to say anything about this, which she always kind of does. But yesterday as we flew, we had a layover. She said, don't say anything and don't use this in the service. So I'm going to do it just because she said it. So here we had a layover in Utah, and I have never been in Salt Lake City. So they had this free tour to Temple Square, the Mormon church. So I said, you know what? Let's go and see the temple. I like to see why they're so lost. How can we reach this people for Jesus? How can we bring the truth to this people? So we go there, and I'm looking at this amazing things and how they have built this extraordinary temple and the buildings and the arenas and the library of millions of records. And I'm in extraordinary building, and we recognize, and I'm looking at this, and we can see that man can do a lot of things and claim it is God. But is it still supernatural events? Supernatural events is only God. Supernatural harvest is only God. We can have, you know, and I come and as I preach in Pakistan and I stand in front of this Muslims, I recognize religion will not save this people. It's not my religion that is better than their religion. My argument somehow will persuade them to change religion, and I can somehow come with a message sophisticated enough that they will change their worldview. They're as committed to their religion as we are to ours, or even more. So somehow it has to be something else that I can bring that is hope for them. It's the God. Gospel of Jesus Christ, the power of God for him that believes, that changes people, that sets them free, that brings deliverance into lives in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Supernatural harvest. I believe this is a season of supernatural harvest for the church and the believers of Jesus Christ. So I wanted to speak about some things here today. I wanted you, if you have your Bibles, turn with me today to John chapter 3. And I want to read there verse 14 only. It's a very simple statement, but Jesus makes the statement simply saying this, and he refers to this old story as Moses was responding to the cry of the people of Israel as they were being bitten by poisonous snakes in response to judgment brought upon them on their sin and rebellion against God. So these poisonous snakes bites them. They are dying. They cry out for mercy and for help to Moses. Moses cry out to God, and God tells him, make a snake, put it on the pole, and lift it in front of the people. Tell the people, if you look at the snake, you will not die, but you will have life. You will live. Jesus refers to this story, and he makes this statement before, in fact, in the middle of this passage as he speaks about what it means to be saved, born again. He's spoken to Nicodemus here about what it means to be born again. You must be born from above, born of the Spirit. And then the famous verse, the next one after 14, 15 is for John 3:16. As we all know, as God so loved this world, he sent his only begotten Son. But this is what Jesus says. He says, just as Moses lifted a snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Referring, of course, to his uplifting on the cross. But my question this morning is, Are we lifting Jesus in our lives? I traveled here and I noticed a number of things. And I maybe shared this, but I know I have not shared it here. But this has been always a challenge for me when we come from U.S. To U.S. And we see these things and we travel here. And I was going to a Bible bookstore and we look at a number of things and all the material they have available there. And as I come into this bookstore, I'm amazed by the amount of resources we have available. All these books and titles and all of the titles, I think, is a design somehow that will grab our attention. You know, so you have this three keys for victory, and then you have five steps for breakthrough, and then we have another 12 keys for prosperity, and some other keys that for joy or happiness, and all of them seem to tell me that I don't have all the things Jesus promised for me on the cross. I have to buy another book. And I'm looking at these things, and I'm thinking as I'm looking at all those amazing resources we have, and I'm thinking about this. I'm thinking we have more Christian radio, television, Bible schools, seminars, teaching material, anything that we can dream up we want to do for Jesus or God. We can find some resource or material or conference that will teach us how to be effective or fruitful in it. We have more per capita than any country on the planet. I believe everything is designed with good intention. I'm listening. I'm not against books this morning. I think it's wonderful. We like books. Books. We use them ourselves, but somehow I'm looking at all those resources, all designed to bring America back to God, to bring revival to America, to cause America to turn back to God, to have our churches revived again, to have people saved, our families saved. We want to see victory in the Christian life of our fellow people in our churches. But somehow when I come, what I hear is really something different. I hear America's becoming a mission field again. America's turning away from God. The moral standard is going down. The young generation is becoming a mission field again. And I'm hearing somehow that all this resources and material has not produced what they were intended to produce. And my question is, what are we lifting? What are we lifting up today in the world? Are we lifting up a great church, great denominations, great teaching concepts, great music? We have a lot of wonderful things, things to be proud of, things that is good. But listen this morning, if we do not lift Jesus Christ in our lives, if we don't lift Jesus Christ in Joplin, if we don't lift Jesus Christ in America, America will never be saved. It's Jesus that is the answer for America. Jesus is the answer for your family. He's the answer for your life. He has not changed. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Jesus is the answer today. When we travel in these places, we recognize more and more that, you know what? It is not any hope any other way. And the more I preach in these places, like in Pakistan or Indonesia, and I'm stepping out. If you knew somehow some of the testimony, I didn't even want to be a preacher. I didn't even want to preach. And I'm standing sometimes in front of this, and there are sometimes large crowds. I don't feel that I'm a great preacher or have something somehow to contribute. But I recognize the more I'm preaching, stepping on that platform, it has nothing to do with me. It's nothing that I'm bringing to this equation. It is Jesus that is the answer for this world. Jesus and His gospel can save any person. Hallelujah. And it is the power of God for him that believes. So the question becomes, maybe then, maybe you're sitting here saying, well, maybe this is then in. And this has been maybe the most common conclusion. Well, maybe then, brother, we don't have enough faith because there they don't have hospitals and number of things. So they have to have faith. We don't have to have faith. So maybe our faith is a problem. That's why we don't see all the supernatural things. But you know what? I don't even believe that is the problem here today. And I want to speak today about faith. Obviously, we understand and recognize, all of us here this morning, that faith is what releases God's hand and God's power in our lives. But here, maybe you're sitting today and say, you know what? I need a miracle in my life. I need Jesus to do something in my family. I have a circumstance. You might sit here today and you have been hurt in church. You might even serve Jesus today. And you're sitting here and you say, you know what? I am tired of religion. But listen, you're still lost without Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if the church have hurt you. It doesn't matter if you're lost and feeling that you somehow are not needing to serve Jesus. Jesus is still the answer. But now this morning, as we speak about faith, I wanted to look at some passages that I felt that the Lord is dealing with me to share with you here today. Luke chapter 8 speaks about a story, a parable. And I want to use it here today very simply, but Jesus speaks about the storm. He calms the storm. They're sailing on a boat. And I want to use this parable today speaking about faith for a few moments. As Jesus is sailing here in this boat, chapter 8 in the book of Luke, it says that as they're sailing, verse 22, let me read just 22 to 25. One day Jesus said to his disciples, he said, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got into the boat, they set out, and as they sailed, he fell asleep. A great storm came on the lake, and the boat was being swamped, and they were all in great danger. The disciples went, woke him up, saying, Master, Master, we're all going to drown. He got up, he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, all was calm, and then he turned to the disciples and says, now, where is your faith? Many times we look at this story and somehow feel that, you know, it's the lack of faith that caused this. And really, the lack of faith was the reason they didn't rebuke the storm. And if you just have faith, all things are possible if you can believe. But I believe that sometimes we have redefined faith to something that is as man-made as religion is. If I can just believe hard enough, I just really try to muster up faith enough today, I'm going to stand up out of my wheelchair today. I'm somehow, then it's going to, my cancer is going to leave my body. If I have just done the right things today, then somehow God is going to meet the demand and then the miracle will come. Now, I'm for holiness. I believe in fast. I believe in prayer. I believe in all those things. But listen today, faith, I believe, is something that Paul is speaking about when he says the gospel is the power of God for him that believes. Life-defining faith that God's word speaks about. Abraham, he defined his life. He chose to be willing to sacrifice Isaac. Noah chose to build the ark in response to God's word. And faith was redefining his walk, his daily action. That was faith. He probably doubted a few times, but he still built the ark. Therefore, he had faith. This story, when Jesus speaks about this, the story when they're sailing on the boat here, I want to use it this morning as a parallel with our journey through life. All of us, we walk through life, and one day comes, and I hope it has come to you, when we hear the Word of God. The Holy Ghost get hold of our hearts, and we're convicted of our sins, and we bow our hearts, we confess our sins, we get saved. Maybe in a church, maybe in a home, but we somehow they give our lives to Jesus. We say, Jesus, I want to follow you. I have met you. I repent of my sins. I will make you the Lord of my life. And we come, and we, if you will, step into the boat with Jesus and start sailing through life with him. We say, you know what? I don't want to walk alone anymore. I don't want to sail through life alone anymore. I want to sail with you. I want to walk with you through this life. And we start the journey through life, and all of us, most of us, when we are first saved, it's good days. It's happy. It's blue skies, and nothing is going wrong then. We cannot see anything difficult. I mean, everything is just great. We are full of faith. We share the faith of Jesus with everyone we meet, everyone on the street corners, our family, because we are just full of Jesus and happy. But it doesn't matter who we are and how much faith we have. One day comes for every one of us when a storm comes into our life. clouds start gathering on the horizon. It seems difficult. It might be in the form of cancer. It might be in the form of disease or illness. It might be family. It might be divorce. It might be relationship. It might be workplace. It might be finance. But somehow it seems that, you know what? This is beyond my solution. I don't know how to solve it. I don't know how I can fix it. And this clouds, it's just getting darker by the day. And you know what? We recognize I need a miracle. So what we do is, you know what, if I'm just praying enough, you know, so then we pray and fast and we say, you know what, God is going to deliver. And again, I think it's great. We need to pray and fast. I'm not against it. I'm just making a point this morning. But we pray and we fast. We may be fast until we're almost not having strength to work anymore. And we're saying, you know what? Jesus is now gonna do that miracle. He's gonna rebuke that storm in my life. That sickness will leave me. That issue in my marriage is gonna go away in Jesus' name. And as we have fasted and prayed and we wake up that next morning, it seems like, you know what? The clouds are still there. That storm hasn't gone away. Now we are getting word that something is wrong with my faith. So maybe I go down to the Bible bookstore and buy a book, Three Keys to Faith. And then I read about how to get great faith. Now, I'm not against fasting and praying, understanding that I think that that is something we all must do and ought to do. But my point is, if I'm relying on my fasting and prayer instead of Jesus, my faith is not on Jesus, it's on me. I can't bribe Jesus to do a miracle for me. I can't somehow do something and then he will in response do something back to me. Jesus has already done it for you. Have you thought of the story when the woman is caught in adultery and he sits down and they are ready, they have caught her and the punishment is death. They're ready to stone her, and as they gather around to stone this woman and they're there with stones and they want to test Jesus, they say, what do you think we should do? The law of Moses, you know what it says, and they're ready to kill this woman. And he says, and as he writes in the sand, he says, now if anyone is without sin, you throw the first stone. They all leave. Now, this woman is caught in adultery. She's a sinner. She has not, according to the scripture, repented of her sins. She have not told Jesus, I'm so sorry. I am a sinner. I'm terribly, terribly sorry. But before she has said a word, Jesus still makes this statement. He says, neither do I condemn you. Jesus forgave you before you even were born. He died for your sins before you knew him. He loved you before you loved him. He did a miracle before you even asked. Listen here this morning. You cannot bribe Jesus. Jesus have done it all on the cross. If you put your faith in him, he is ready, hallelujah, to do it for you. That's why Jesus is the answer to our world. That's why Jesus is not religion. That's why faith in Jesus is not a system of what we have to walk and follow. Jesus Christ is a personal relationship and faith, the living faith. And we walk with him and he walk with us, hallelujah, through this journey in life. So maybe this storm is getting really bad. And we are thinking we need to acquire great faith. So let me continue on that great faith. The Bible speaks about two people that have great faith. Let's look at them real quick, if you have time, very quickly, and I'm going to move very quickly here. But the book of Matthew, let me just paraphrase, but it's two people God's word speaks about having great faith. You can find them in the book of Matthew, chapter 8 and chapter 15. The centurion and the Canaanite woman. Jesus is describing them as having great faith. Maybe some of the book that we buy at the Bible bookstore even speaks about these people and how to get great faith. And maybe it says something like, well, you know, you have to know the centurion officer, he really understood authority. So we have to, the key is to know all the demonic strongholds and the spiritual authorities. And then we can somehow bind them and get great faith. If we understand authority, that's the key for great faith. But then we read a story of the Canaanite woman, also is said having great faith. And we find she's like a rebellion. Jesus even says, I'm not even going to give you anything. She comes and says, you know what? I want that bread. I'm not going to give it. I have come for the people of Israel. But said, even don't the dogs even get the crumbs? She doesn't accept no for an answer. She is persistent, almost like a rebellion, pushing through, wanting that miracle. But it's interesting. Now, maybe then the story is, or the key is, if we have to be like that woman, we have to be persistent and push through. That's the key. But then we look at the centurion officer. He doesn't push at all. In fact, it says when Jesus invites him, say, I will go with you. No, you can stay here. You don't have to go. So it seems like it's something else that is the common denominator. And I was looking at this, and I believe it's a number of things. But interesting to me, I found is that both of these people were non-Jewish. Nothing wrong with being Jewish, but they did not know the rules. They did not know the religion. They did not know the things they had to do to get that miracle. All the things they had to walk through and fast and pray and jump up and down and do all the right things. Wash their hands in the right way. They only came for one thing. They wanted to meet Jesus. They wanted to touch Him. They knew He had the answer. Jesus was the answer. And when they came, Jesus was there to meet them. Hallelujah. So here in the midst of the storm, the clouds are dark and it seems difficult. It somehow seems like, you know what, maybe we come to a place like the disciples in the midst of the storm. They're feeling they're going to drown. They're saying, you know what, we're not going to make it. I'm not going to see tomorrow anymore. This is beyond me. And they're ready to give up. Now, interesting here today, and I think we forget it. We forget it all the time. But in the beginning of that story, in the beginning of that journey, a statement was made by Jesus Christ. He said, come, let's go to the other side of the lake. The day you came, you met with Jesus, and He said, come, let's journey with me. I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. Somehow in the midst of the storm, that is forgotten. We don't remember it anymore. It seems like, you know what? He has left me. He's not with me anymore. But listen here, that what caused that boat to not sink was not the great faith of the disciples, or the lack of faith would cause it to sink. It was the statement Jesus made in the beginning of the journey. Come, let's go to the other side of the lake. Let's go to the other side of the lake. You know what? I might not have faith today. I might not feel like I'm going to see a miracle today. But listen to me. Jesus is not going to let your boat sink. He's not going to abandon you. He made a statement when you gave your life to Him. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. As long as you have Jesus with you, He will certainly see you to the other side. And the reason is only that Jesus is in the boat with you. Hallelujah. As I'm preaching in these Muslim countries, I recognize that Jesus is the only answer. And He has not changed. And He's certainly the answer for also America today. This morning here, if I have someone here on the music for a moment. Do we have someone on the keyboard? I know I've spoken very simply to you here today. But I believe that America is coming to a season and a time of great harvest, great miracles. And I am absolutely certain that Jesus is here this morning. God's word promised me when two or three gather in my name, He said, I will be there. Sometimes in these Muslim festivals, we do this for a purpose and a reason. I believe in laying on hands for people and they will recover. The Bible tells us to do this in the church. But in a gospel crusade, I'm not doing it for one reason. I tell them, I don't have power to heal you. My hand is limited. But I'm not here to preach about me. I'm preaching about someone else. Born of a virgin, walked a sinless life. Crucified on the cross, laid in a grave. But listen, the grave could not hold him and death could not keep him. On the third day, he rose again and he's alive. Hallelujah. And he has not changed. He is still the same. And he's here today. And his hand is not limited. In his presence, all things are possible. In his presence, there is deliverance. In his presence, there is restoration. In his presence, there is forgiveness. And Jesus is here today. I know I have spoken simply to you, but I believe the key for great harvest is that we live Jesus. In the church, in your life, to your family, to your friends. Sometimes when people ask, you know what, I have a problem. Do you know what I can do? And we have all kinds of great answers. We talk even about church growth. I mean, we have seminars on how we can do this and that and cause a church growth. I looked at that Mormon church. Of course, they have great ideas, but it doesn't mean the supernatural is there. But I believe we're living in a time of the supernatural. And Jesus is here. If you bow our heads just right now. If someone is here this morning. Someone is here and you say, first, I want to just ask this question before I move on. I want to pray with you. I believe that maybe someone is here today and you say, I'm in a storm. I have an issue in my life. I have a relationship issue, sickness in my body. I need a miracle. I believe Jesus is here to meet you where you are. But before I pray with you today, I want to ask this question. If someone is here today, you say, you know what? You maybe have been in church. You maybe have served Jesus and you backslid, or you're not going to church, or is serving Him now. Or maybe you have never served Him. I'm not here to preach to you about religion and things you need to do. I'm simply saying, unless you put your faith in Jesus Christ, confess Him as Lord of your life, you're lost. You say, I'm neutral. No one is neutral. It's two kingdoms. The kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God. And it's only one way for you to the kingdom of God. That's through Jesus Christ. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, this morning, if you say, I'm here, and my life is not right with Him, I want to pray with you where you are simply. I would like you just to lift your hand. You say, my life is not right. I'd like you to pray with me. I'd like to make that decision today. Thank you. I'd like to make that decision today. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Can everyone pray with me as we pray? Keep our heads bowed here with the people that lifted their hand. I'm not. I want you to repeat after me as we pray. Jesus, I thank you today for loving me before I knew you. For paying the price for my forgiveness before I even knew about you. I repent of my sins. I put my faith in you, Jesus. Thank you for forgiving me. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give Him a hand. Pastor, the ones that lifted her hand, I'm sure they know how to find someone to talk to in the church. But if you're here this morning and you say, you know what? I'm in a storm today. I'm in a storm today. Can we stand to our feet right now just for a few moments? All over the spirit. You say, I'm in a storm today. I need a miracle in my life. I need a miracle in my body, in a relationship or family, or I have someone that needs to be saved. I need God's miracle today. I want to agree with you in faith today, and I believe Jesus is here to do it. You say, I need that miracle. I want you to lift your hands in faith and say, you know what? I need that miracle. I need that touch today. Hallelujah. All over this building. I thank you, Jesus, today. I thank you, Jesus, for every hand that is lifted in testimony and in faith to see your intervention in their life and in their storm today, Jesus. You see their storm. You see the need. You see their cry for a miracle and maybe feeling they don't have enough faith. They somehow don't know how this is going to end. Jesus, you are there with them and you have never left. And today I ask you that you will come to them and lay your miracle working hand upon their life. In Jesus' name, I rebuke every sickness today in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your touch today. I thank you for your restoration, for relationships right now. In Jesus' name, that you are bringing restoration into lives here right now. In Jesus' name. I pray for your healing, for your touch right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your miracles. Hallelujah. Thank you for your miracles. In Jesus' name.
You can be seated very reverently right there. Just hang with me one more minute, please, if you would. I ask that you not leave. Just hang with us for a second here. Dr. Carl, you know, as you were sharing that, one of the things at Destiny Church that we've been, from the very first time we started in the DNA, we're praying that God allows us is that we would never allow the focus. And one of the things we see in the U.S. churches today that we see as evidence is the focus on a one man, you know, that building up one man ministry where this man is the man of God and he's, you know, he's the guru of everything. And so we see that not just, you know, in one area, but we see it all across America. We see that very evident. So we've been praying to God, but it's allowed that no one is exalted except for Jesus Christ. And so you speaking that message is exactly what we have shared here at Destiny from the very beginning. If you're maybe you're new here and haven't been here very long, that's one of the things we believe is that we want to exalt Jesus Christ in everything that we do. That when people come in, they don't see a pastor. They don't just see a great preacher or a great worship team. But they come in and they say, you know what? It's just Jesus is being lifted up there. Jesus is being lifted up there. And that's our heart's desire, is that Jesus would work through us. That we could people come in this building and when we leave, people look at our lives and see Jesus. So you were right on with the vision of our church. And we pray today that God would allow us to be people. And I want you to pray that prayer. Can you pray that prayer over us? Just pray that God would allow Jesus to be in our lives to the point where everywhere we go, people see Jesus in us. How many are challenged today? You know, as we watched that video and we saw men there with machine guns and people who were actually putting their lives at risk by sharing the gospel in places where you can be put to death or even arrested for sharing the gospel, that many times we have a hard time just sharing a Monday when we go to work with a smile and a handshake and just sharing the love of Jesus people. That if these men and women can go to a place like Pakistan and put their life on the line to share Jesus, how many of us would know that God needs to do something in us that we can share the gospel every day when we walk in our job, in our school, in our university? Amen? Do you believe that? You believe that? I want you to pray that prayer of us that God would allow Destiny Church and the people of Destiny Church, that he would allow us to, his light would shine through us in a way where he is exalted. He is exalted in everything we do.
Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you right now. I thank you, Jesus, for every person that is here today. I thank you, Jesus, for every life that is represented and every destiny represented in their lives. You have a plan and a map for every person's life here today. I know, Lord, that in that plan and in that destiny is supernatural harvests. Maybe in their surrounding, maybe by souls, maybe by comfort and love. But I believe, Lord, that something is in store for them beyond their imagination today. And I pray that you will bless them. I pray that you will fill our hearts with faith. I pray that you will cause us to lift you up as the answer for the world today. That when people ask what is the answer for the world, we're not talking about medicine or a program or a seminar or a feel-good seminar or conference, but we are saying Jesus is the answer today. I pray Jesus will be lifted in our lives today. I pray it will be lifted in the church. I pray it will be lifted in Joplin. I pray, Lord, that as we lift you, we know that people will be saved. People will find peace and deliverance and freedom and life in Jesus' name. I pray you bless Gene and Melody. I pray you bless the leadership of the church. I pray you fill them with faith. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Thank you very much. Yes. Today, as the ushers are getting ready, today, many of you here will never have a chance to go to Pakistan or Indonesia or to Ethiopia. But the gospel is very clear about us spreading the gospel around the world. Not only are we responsible for spreading the gospel in our local community and in our region in the U.S., we're also responsible as the body of Christ of evangelizing the world, taking the gospel all around the world. And so if every one of us can do that, how do we do that? It's by supporting people like Carl and Jennifer who are doing that. And so your offering today that you give to them will enable them to continue to spread the gospel around the world. Listen, they'll do more with your money than almost any ministry out there. They will spread that gospel. When people come to the Crusades, not only are they seeing great miracles, but literally tens of thousands of people are accepting Jesus every crusade. And they're having to fund that, giving, and they give out tracts to all of them. What do you do next? And they give out the gospel in their language. And funding these crusades are not cheap. They're things that cost a lot of money to do. And these are not lucrative and financial blessed places where they're going. So there's not money just hanging off the trees to walk up and do these things. But it takes through private donations like this of churches who are supporting them. First of all, we want to say, Carl and Jennifer, we want to support you as Destiny Church today. We want to begin to adopt you as one of our missionaries. You're here today, you're speaking, so from now on, we're going to include you in our missionary offering. We want to adopt you, we want to support you every month, okay? We're going to include you in a missionary offering every month, just to add another offering to that list. We want to do that. But also today, we want to bless you with a big offering. I'm going to invite you today, search your heart, grab your neighbor's wallet, grab their checkbook, and write the biggest check you can do. Listen, I want you to bless them today. Very much, okay? I want you to bless them. Let's help spread the gospel around the nations today. Let's bow our heads as the ushers come forward. Father, we thank you for this offering. God, help us to be obedient to hear what you are asking us to give right now. Father, what would you have us to give right now? Speak to our heart. Okay, God, now as you have shared that number in our heart, I pray that we are obedient to do that thing. And Father, we're going to sow this seed into good ministry. Father, we believe it's good, fertile ground. And God, we're going to plant this seed in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. They're going to be passing those buckets around today. Make sure you give in this offering. We want to bless them today. How many are blessed today by that encouraging testimony and the challenge of the word? Will you bless? Yeah. Let's bless them. You snooze, you lose. Someone said, what's going to happen next week? Well, I'm not going to tell you. You're just going to show up and find out. How many men were challenged last week? Did we have any men that were challenged last week? Let me tell you this. If you're a man and you were not here last week, you might want to do this. You need to do this. If you're a man and you are here this morning at Destiny Church, you need to go onto our church website, mydestinychurch.com. Go to our iCast and listen to last week's message. God gave us a direct challenge to all the men in our church, and we had a tremendous response at the end of the guys who were saying, yes, Pastor, I want to accept the challenge. Next week, we're going to dive more into this, and we'll have sign-up table next week for those guys who walked forward and other guys who want to join. We're excited about the men of destiny stepping up and again to lead their homes and lead the church the way God has ordained us to do that. And I'm excited about that. So if you're a man here today and you did not hear that message, get online, okay, and listen to that. If you don't listen to online messages, then go back in the back and tell Garrett there in the back computer, hey, I want a copy of that message, and we'll get you a copy of that also and get that available for you. You can order that today. All right? Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Thank you so much for staying with us today and just blessing the Lord together. We invite you to have a great week in the Lord. Shake a hand and hug a neck. I'll say you to shake a neck and hug a hand, but that's not good. Let's do the opposite way, yeah. Shake a hand, hug a neck on the way out today. Say, God bless you. You have a great week in the Lord.